Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Gulbranson.
Back on the air, happy Tuesday, Raider Nation Radio. Get on with us. You're the third host, 702-365-9200. Tell me what's on your mind. Another day, another college football, and now college sports. Of course, Big Ten cancels football today, and we heard just before we went on the air, the Pac-12 has said no hoops. Although talking to a few Pac-12 coaches, I've been told that they're shooting for January, so we'll see how that goes. But first, a massive big announcement today about the selection of a co-running mate, and I should say my co-host. Q, you're my co-host.
I didn't know where you were going with that. I'm glad you went where you went with it, but I had no idea. I didn't know if I had the right clothes on today, if I didn't go get my hair cut. I didn't know what was going on. I thought you were about to say something monumental, but yeah, man, I'm glad to be here with you.
Well, we don't talk politics, but there was a big political announcement, so I'm just playing on that because I think most people have heard about that. So what the heck, you know, let's start off. We're going to keep it loose today and do a lot. We got a lot on the docket, though, so we want to tell you a little bit about what we got coming up today. First, we're going to talk about college sports because even though those of us who love to watch college sports are kind of crying in our coffee, there's also an impact on the NFL. Q, we talked about it yesterday, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. It's a major impact. You know, these guys are trying to prepare for the next level, and a lot of these guys need this upcoming season to go ahead and solidify their spot in the upcoming NFL draft. And it doesn't look like, well, for a lot of these conferences, they're not going to have that opportunity.
No, they're not. So what we're doing is there's a great piece up on Yahoo Sports by Therese Paylor, who's going to join us at the right before the bottom of the hour, and about the NFL impact of no college football on scouting. Really interesting piece. Therese Paylor, of course, is senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports, also hosts their NFL podcast. So you don't want to miss that. He's a great, great guy. Great interview. We'll do that as well. The Q-tip will be here to clean out those ears again. Also, in the second hour, Peter Guzman from the Las Vegas Latin Chamber of Commerce is going to be with us. He is also a member of the Las Vegas Stadium Authority's Community Benefits Committee. We're going to talk about the financial impact of the stadium. Now, of course, the stadium's not going to have fans this year, so the financial impact has changed. But the Community Benefits Committee, Q, was all about, you know, you hear about, oh, you give these bailouts and this money to billionaire owners to build stadiums. But the Community Benefits Committee was created to make sure that, for example, minority-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, veteran-owned businesses were involved in the project before, during, and after. So we're going to talk to him about that. And then we'll get into your phone calls. We'll talk more about the Raiders, what we're hearing out of camp. Of course, tomorrow they kind of strap it up a little more, and they're going to change their schedule, get to more substantive practices tomorrow as training camp gets into full swing, testing has gone through, and all of that, and we'll give you updates to that as well. But Q, man, I'll tell you what, we had yesterday, I wrote the column about Derek Carr, and boy, you know, I didn't get as much hate as I thought I would, and that's a good thing. That means that there's people out there who might disagree, but at least they're willing to have a frank discussion. But, man, I'm seeing national pieces now. I saw a national piece up on CBS Sports about Derek Carr and how fans need to chill and relax and what is wrong with Raider fans, written by a Bears fan, by the way, who know bad quarterbacks. And just this whole storyline, it just does not go away.
No, it really never does, man. It's like wildfire. You know what I mean? All of a sudden you light a match and you have some dead grass out there, and all of a sudden it just whoom, takes off. And then, oh, by the way, you put a little bit of gasoline on it and it flies a little bit more, and it gets really hot and crazy and out of control. It's one of those endless conversations. I try to stay away from it as much as possible because, again, it's like a circle and never ends.
No, you're right. But also today, I don't know, I was going through the Twitter timeline this morning, early this morning, and I see the video from NFL Network of Charlie Casserly, of course, former GM, and he is talking, I see the slug, and it says, will the Raiders make the playoffs, right? So it's him and Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network, and they're talking about the Raiders. Good thing, right? You're thinking, hey, the Raiders are getting some love on NFL Network. That's a good thing if you're part of Raider Nation. But then Raiders fans hear this from Charlie Casserly.
Yeah, their number one objective was to get more explosive on offense, and they did that. Henry Ruggs comes over in the first round. He's a speed receiver. Why is he important? He opens up the coverage. He takes the safety out of the box that helps the running game more. Then Lynn Bowden in the third round, punt returner, explosive, dynamic. Out of the backfield, a mismatch for linebackers. So two guys there, help him on offense. You already got Darrell Waller at tight end. You got Josh Jacobs at running back. Okay, and Tyrell Williams at wide receiver. Now the key will be Derek Carr. Third year in the offense. He's got to be able to make more plays downfield. That's the whole big picture, to get playmakers in there. More explosive plays downfield. That's going to be what they're expecting out of Derek Carr. They got talent on offense now.
You think they're a playoff team, Charlie?
Not quite there yet, and I'll tell you why. Yeah, Corey Littleton's going to help the linebackers in pass coverage. They got better at safety. The run defense isn't bad. They got a nickel corner. But here's the problem. They got one pass rusher, Max Crosby. Now, they brought in Rod Marinelli from Dallas, who has developed pass rushers. Cleveland Farrell, will he come along? Maurice Hurst, will he come along? Malik Collins, those are guys that have to come along. The problem is at cornerback right now. You got two guys there, second-year player Trayvon Mullen. He's a strider. What's that mean? He has trouble changing directions. And he's a grabber. What's that mean? Penalties. First-round pick, Damon Arnett. Some people question his speed. I didn't. But he was a penalized guy. So the problem is you still have a question of the issue. People throwing the ball, having time, and the court is defending. They got enough talent on offense to be a playoff team. Defensively, I'm not sure they're quite there yet. I still think in the division, they're behind the Chargers, obviously Kansas City, and I think they're even with Denver.
Well, there you go. Charlie Casserly on the Raiders. And Q, just a reminder, today's debate, you can find the link to the side of debate on our Twitter handle, at Silver Black, the number 2 day. Check out Silver and Black Today, the website.com as well. But the question, NFL Network's Charlie Casserly said about the Raiders and their playoff chances, that no, they will not make the playoffs and that they'll finish either even, i.e. last, in the division with Denver. Q, listen. He made good points there. What he said about cornerbacks, question marks, absolutely. What he said about up front, Hurst, Farrell coming along and having to really click and do more. He's absolutely right there. What do you think overall, though, of his assessment of where they might fall in the division?
Well, you know, there's a lot to unpack there. I mean, he had a whole lot to say. He gave a lot of compliments to the offense. And, you know, I think the offense is going to be really good. We've talked about it multiple times that the additions on offense, the new weapons that they brought in, should help out that offense and should help out Derek Carr in a major way. Now, flipping to the defense, there are some, you know, issues there. There are some guys that need to go out there and prove themselves. I think we've made no bones about it that Mo Hurst is going to have to step up. I think Malik Collins is being very much slept on. I think he's a very, very underrated player. I think he's going to be a really good. Max Crosby, like you said, is a bona fide pass rusher. I mean, going and getting 10 sacks your rookie year is major. You know, that's an important thing. So he's going to be big time. Now, who's going to step up across from him? You know, there's guys that are there that just haven't done it consistently in the NFL. So they got to prove themselves. I, unlike Charlie Casserly, think that Trayvon Mullen's going to be a lot better in his year two. And we'll see what happens with Damon Arnett. You know, but I think that the pieces are there. Like we said in great length yesterday, the pieces are there for that defense to be a lot better. They just got to come together. They got to gel and they got to make it happen. I don't think that they're the worst team in the division at all. As a matter of fact, I think they're the second best team. I think it's the Chiefs and then I think it's the Raiders.
No, I would agree with that. That's why I'm a little bit questioning. Like I said, I think Casserly made good points. By the way, we want to know what you, Raider Nation, think. Dial us up 702-365-9200, 702-365-9200. 865-9200. But he doesn't talk about the NASIB. He doesn't talk about what they've done there and how it's changed. And yes, there's question marks. There's no doubt about it. But when you look at the other teams in the division, they have more question marks, including on offense, right? So you look, he gave a lot of credit to the Raider offense, saying, of course, Derek Carr needed to do more to produce downfield, which we think he can do now with the tools he has. So when you look at that, but he's not looking at the rest of the division. Okay, Kansas City's unto themselves. Well, it's just right. They'll say that. But you look at the Chargers, they have so many question marks. Yes, they got better in certain spots on defense. They're still aging on certain spots on defense. They have injury issues on
defense.
What
about their quarterback?
Yeah, the quarterback? Yeah, Tyrod Taylor. He doesn't turn over the ball. That's great. But he also doesn't push the ball downfield. So you're going to tell me the Raiders' weaknesses in the defensive backfield, defensive line, and that's why you're going to pick them last in the division, yet you don't have a quarterback outside of Mahomes that's proven to be able to win at this level and in the division.
Right. There's not a better quarterback in the league. I mean, in the division that's better than Patrick Mahomes, obviously. But the second best quarterback is, in my opinion, Derek Carr. Regardless of what anyone wants to say, Tyrod Taylor is an unproven dude. He hasn't done it consistently throughout his career. That's why he's consistently being moved around from team to team. He went from Buffalo. I mean, he's just been in different spots, you know. And so this year is going to be kind of up in the air what Tyrod Taylor is going to be able to bring to the table and how good he could be for the Chargers. But Drew Lock, he has only played in a handful of games, so he's not proven either.
Nope.
If there's anyone who's done something in the league, it is Derek Carr. Even though he's got his warts as well, he's got to improve, but at least he's proven that he can get it done, and he has gotten it done on a higher level.
All right, we're going to go out on the Raider Nation radio hotline. You're on the Silver and Black today on a Tuesday. It is Mark up in the Bay Area. Mark, what do you got for us, brother?
Hey, Scott. Hey, Q. Thanks for taking the call, man. I'm really fired up about your guys' station. And, you know, Scott, I've listened to your show for the last few years, and I know that, you know, for the last few months, you've been pretty much pounding the table saying Carr is going to have a good year. I couldn't agree more. And the reason being is I feel like with Derek, I think that, you know what, he had a good year last year throwing for over 4,000, a high percentage. We know all about that. I think there's just been a few games where the nation's kind of been, you know, like in critical situations, like on a fourth down and 10 or I can't remember the plays specifically, but there's been a couple times where he's like throwing the ball in the dirt when it's just inexcusable. Mm-hmm. Like on a fourth down, you got to either, you know, go for it or run or something. So I just like to see that part of his game pick up. But the guy's got all the talent in the world. We already know that. He's already proven that. So, yeah, I'm really excited for the changes on the offense. I think, like everybody knows, Ruggs is going to open up that offense for Josh Jacobs and that offensive line. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I don't agree with Casterly at all. I think Trayvon Mullen kind of showed himself last year. I thought he was our best corner. He's only going to get better. The guy was a rookie. And one guy that nobody talks about a lot because he didn't play last year is Abram, will make those corners look even a lot better with his range back there. I think him and Randall are going to be a great tandem, and I wanted to get your guys' thought on that.
Yeah, you have Randall, you have Heath. Great call, Mark. We appreciate you calling in from the Bay Area, and thank you, man, for listening for so long and for the kind words about Raider Nation Radio. But I'll tell you what, here's the thing with Carr. I have said, literally, since last November, I really believed, even though they had that kind of tailspin at the end of the year for all kinds of reasons, I just felt with what was coming up in the draft, okay, and that they were going to get that wide receiver, that number one wide out, coupled with coming to Las Vegas, fresh start, all that kind of stuff, I just had a feeling. Now, I will preface this by saying that I'm not out here telling you that Derek Carr is going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback. I've not said that. I've said he's a good quarterback. He's a very good NFL quarterback. You know, people start throwing out names like Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and all this kind of stuff. I don't think he's there. Derek Carr does not have to be a Hall of Fame quarterback for the Raiders to win to go deep in the playoffs.
No, he doesn't. All he has to do is understand what he's being asked to do and go out there and execute. And going back to Mark's call, yeah, when he throws the ball in the dirt on fourth down, even if there's nobody open, that's frustrating when you're watching a game. You want the quarterback to allow your wide receivers to at least have a chance. You know what I mean? Throw the ball up so maybe a miracle play happens. Maybe the catch happens. You know what I mean? Something like that happens, But you got to throw the ball. If you don't throw the ball up there, nobody's going to have a chance. You can't just throw it away all the time. And so a lot of times what Derek Carr will do is he has that built-in check down in John Gruden's offense. He'll use it so quickly that everyone says, well, all he does is just check down. He's got to hang in the pocket. He's got to make that throw down the field. He's got to get it into a tight window. He's got to get aggressive with the ball. That's something that he hasn't done the last few years. He hasn't really done since 2016. And that, I believe, is what's so frustrating for most Raider fans.
Right. And again, I got a lot of people who said to me yesterday, hey, we're still Raider fans. It's not that we're not Raider fans if we criticize. And that's not what I said or we talked about yesterday. No one said that you can't criticize. My point, and I continue to be on the soapbox, Q, is if you root against him, there's a big difference. There's a big difference between having high expectations of the quarterback and telling the quarterback, we want to see you improve. We want to see you not throw the ball in the dirt. We want to see you not reach for the pylon and fumble the ball. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is some of the examples I saw yesterday about people saying, oh, I hope he is, and they're old examples, but people retweeted them, about breaking legs and hurting themselves and stuff like
that. That's just sick.
That's just sick. Right, I don't care how much you dislike a quarterback or a player on your team, or you think that your team needs to get better. It's okay. If those of you out there who say, look, I don't think Derek Carr's the answer, I'm fine with that. That's a point. It's a valid point. He has to prove. The team has to prove. And by the way, when you see Charlie Casserly, who we started this whole segment with, you right. hear about what they're saying about the Raiders. It goes back to the point you made the day of the press conference, Q, and that was, yes, Derek Carr is talking about himself a little bit, but he's talking more about his team. He believes the Raiders are there. The Raiders are set to show the world that they are true contenders and a playoff team. And so when you hear the word disrespect, yeah, we all ran with it and say it was about Derek Carr. But at the end of the day, he's right. Look, everyone, you see all the predictions thus far picking the Raiders last in the division, Q.
Exactly. So what you got to do is you got to go out there and win.
Yep.
And when you go out there and win, you shut everybody up, and then all of a sudden they start praising you. Think about how many Pro Bowlers the Raiders had back in 2016. You know, half the squad was at the Pro Bowl. So, I mean, that's what happens when you win games. And so that's the job of Derek Carr and company. They got to go out there and find a way to win games. And I like the attitude that he has. I love the fact that he's fired up and he wants to earn that respect, not only for himself, but the rest of the team. And again, the way to go do that is to go win games. It's real simple. The defense is going to have to help him in a major way, and the offense is going to have to do their share. Every part of the team has to be improved. Now, real quick, going to Charlie Casserly, I don't take a whole lot from what he says anyway. Yeah. And this is not a disrespect. He's done some good things in the league, and I know he's put together some really good teams in the past. But he also said that Lamar Jackson should be a wide receiver. So I'm just going to leave that out there.
Yeah, that's a mic drop right there, Q. I got to tell you.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're just getting started. Q and I are getting fired up. We're not even close to 100% peak, but we're getting there. So we're going to step aside for a quick break. On the other side, Therese Paylor from Yahoo Sports. He'll talk about how the impact of not having college football will impact your Raiders and the NFL scouting departments. You're listening to The Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio 920.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
That's right. Q and Scott back here on a Tuesday. We got Chris Chapman behind the board there giving us some good tunes. Gotta like that.
He's on the wheels of steel, man. He kills it.
He is. The last 2 days, he's you know why? We had a feeling out period. He had to understand where we were, what our vibe was. Since Raider Nation Radio just went on the air last week, to the pleasure of millions of Raider fans out there. But anyway, listen, you know, this past couple days has been tough. We continue to see the dominoes fall with college football. Today, just before we went on the air, we heard about the Pac-12 and basketball, them saying no basketball this season, although we're hearing that that could change with a January timeframe, but we'll see how that goes. But what we wanted to do is figure out what is the impact, what's going to be the impact, Q, of college not playing, college football not playing this year on the NFL, on the Raiders, on NFL teams' scouting staffs, right? Because this is the time of the year when those guys, because they're all broken down by region, and they go watch, they learn who these kids are. They're sort of, as our next guest calls them, a little bit of a private investigator to see what they're all like. And so we're going to bring in Therese Paylor. Of course, he is an NFL writer at Yahoo Sports, also hosts a podcast that if you don't already subscribe to, you're way behind. You need to do that. And, of course, that's the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. Therese, thanks for being here on the Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
Yeah, no problem. How's it going, guys?
Going good, man. Listen, the possibility that college football might not happen everywhere continues to kind of loom over the sports landscape. So we wanted to explore that with you. After your piece yesterday on yahoosports.com, you know, you start to think through all of the implications this has. For college players looking to get into the NFL, it's a problem, clearly. Let's start there. And even though there's been talk of maybe playing in the spring, that doesn't work if you're a first-round draft pick. And talk about the quandary, first of all, for college football's best. Number one, if there's no season and there's no continuation of the season later in the year or next year, okay, that's easy. But if they do, what's the fallout from this overall?
All right, so there's a couple different aspects here we kind of have to acknowledge. You know, first of all, if they do go on to play in the spring, which seems a little unlikely because there may or may not be a vaccine by then. But if they do, if you're a first-round pick, I don't know why you would play. Mm-hmm. Because football is a grueling game, and it literally makes no sense to play in the spring and in the fall, right? That's not something that physically you can handle. You know, one thing I've heard from a lot of rookies over my years covering the NFL is that the hardest part about going from the end of your college season through the pre-draft season into the NFL is that you spend that whole time training to get in the NFL, and you're not ready for the physicality of the league. Now, imagine doing all that training leading up to the league, like the start of the league season, but you're adding in time where you're actually been hitting.
Crazy.
There's no way you can play back to back in spring and fall. You just can't do it. So what you might see from the guys who aren't like locked first round picks, because there's no reason for someone like Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence to play back to back. Guys who might need to solidify their status, I wouldn't be surprised to see him play one or two games. Mm. You get that on tape, you see that, you show it, you start getting hit up probably from agents in the background, you're done. Here's my tape. You got two games. Good luck.
Right.
Right? Yeah. Then if you don't play in the spring, the issue for the teams is brutal because teams evaluate first-round picks. Like, you become a first-round pick by by testing well certain physical categories and also having good tape. That's a first-round pick. Good tape plus athleticism. That's what you need to be a first-round pick. And if you don't come out well on the testing side physically, you better have good tape to go in the second, third, or fourth round. So now you're kind of removing the recent tape from the mix, which is going to hurt some guys' ability to get drafted and make it very difficult for teams to adequately slot these players where they should go. Think about this. You know, Kyler Murray kind of came out of nowhere to be the number one pick.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow, the same.
Yep.
The 2021 NFL draft, I'm telling you this right now, the 2021 NFL draft, if there is no college season whatsoever, is going to be the biggest dice roll we've seen in decades. Draft-wise, all right? Some teams are going to recognize that. I expect some teams to say, screw that. Give me a known quantity. Give me a player. That's why I like what Seattle did trading for Jamal Adams. They know what Jamal Adams is.
Yep.
What is their first and third round pick? They don't know. They have no idea. They might not even have 2020 tape on whoever their first or third round pick is. So I know that's a lot, but that's kind of what we got to recognize here. You might have a bunch of draft picks in 2021 that don't mean anything because it's two-year-old tape. And guys regularly blow up the previous year before they months before they get drafted to emerge as top picks. So just know the teams that have the best scouts and the most well-rounded scouts, those are the teams that are going to benefit. But even then, it's going to be luck, guys.
Yeah, no, it really will be. You hit it on the head when you were talking about Joe Burrow and Kyler Murray. And, you know, the Raiders know firsthand because they took Damon Arnett, number 19 overall, out of Ohio State. And I don't think anybody was talking about him. Most people were surprised when they took him in the first round this year, and he had tape. So if he didn't have that year of tape, he really wouldn't have been a first-round pick.
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult. So you're going to be evaluating on two-year-old tape. I do think the testing's really going to matter. I think they'll find a way to test, combine and stuff like that. Like, guys are going to get those testing numbers, the spark scores. They need that, right? And I think teams will do the best they can. But it's the teams that have invested in scouting, the teams that have diversified staffs with a lot of resources and contacts that can give people the inside, give their decision makers the inside scoop on these prospects, that are going to have the best chance of coming out okay. I mean, you could get, like, think of it this way. Had this happened a year ago, Joe Burrow might have been a sixth-round pick, a fifth-round pick. You could have gotten that number one overall type talent in the fifth round. So, like always, you know, the rich are going to get richer. I do expect this to widen the gulf between the haves and have-nots in this league as far as the teams that spend money on scouting, right? But even then, there still will be an element of luck to it.
Therese Paylor from Yahoo Sports. He's an NFL writer. They're also the host of the very popular Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. Make sure you subscribe to that. Therese, when you look at that, speaking of, you know, you mentioned in your story some of the teams that may be positioned well, despite it all being really just a crapshoot. The Bengals, on the cheap, they have three scouts, while teams have double or triple that, you say. What are the teams, the five top maybe, or a couple teams that you can think of that are going to be positioned in a better position? Again, they're, like you said, it's going to be a gamble for everybody, but who has invested in that, and where do the Raiders sit in that order?
Yeah, think about the teams that typically win year in and year out, right? So just look at the back half of the draft, like every year, the teams that are like almost always there. Unfortunately for Raider fans, that includes the Chiefs, right? But, you know, the Patriots, you know, Bill Belichick has access to information. The Ravens, really, really, really respected scouting staff. The Steelers draft well. Like, they've been drafting for their systems for years, right? And you can kind of go down that line. These teams that seem to be good every year, the ones that are the most competently run, those are the ones that are really, really going to benefit. You know, as far as the Raiders go, I think Mike Mayock has brought a level of respectability to that scouting department. I like Reggie too, but I'm just saying, you know, Mayock has a very clear type. He likes these players that have established themselves on these big programs. They got a lot of Alabama guys. They got a lot of Clemson guys. Like, they like that. It is what it is there, right? And that's okay. And honestly, if you have a type, that's probably going to help you in the 2021 draft, since the players who go to programs like that tend to be the best prep prospects. They're blue-chip prospects, right? So, look, there's a level of respectability in Oakland with what Mike Mayock's brought to the organization. You know, I look at their roster. There seems to be a plan, right? Like, you know, all these pieces do fit. You know, Josh Jacobs, a do-it-all back. He's complemented by a deep-threat receiver now and Henry Ruggs. Tyrell Williams is a good number two receiver. Hunter Renfrow is a prototypical slot receiver. I think the offensive line's okay. The tight ends, there's a bunch of them. Like, do you understand? Like, there's just the roster makes sense as far as like what they're looking for.
Right.
I think the Raiders are ascending. I think, you know, at the end of the day, though, they play in the AFC West and they got to get through Mahomes. And like, you guys know that. I'm not telling you something you don't know. To topple the Chiefs, you're going to need more out of Carr. He's going to have to play better than he ever has.
No question right there.
No, there's no doubt about that at all. And you mentioned the combine a little earlier. What do you think the NFL will do? How do you think they'll adjust their offseason with the knowledge that, hey, there wasn't any college football played in the fall? So will the combine have more people invited? Will there be more official visits allowed? What do you think they'll do?
I think all that's going to have to be on the table for them. I think it'd be interesting to see if they move the draft, because the NFL can move it to like June 2nd. They don't need the players' permission to do it. They could just do it. But we also know the NFL is a little bit like a freight train. Like, they're going to kind of do what they do and not want to adjust a whole lot. So, they do have the ability to be flexible in this. The teams that have a say, like, you know, the decision makers, the scouts, like the front office executives, if they want more time, more run up to the draft, they'll probably be granted that. So we'll end up seeing what's happening. Like, all those are options, right? But we don't know what they're going to end up doing. They don't know what they're going to end up doing yet. But I wouldn't take anything off the table.
Yeah, and again, we are talking to Therese Paylor from Yahoo Sports. Of course, great NFL writer there, also hosts the NFL podcast for Yahoo. And before we let you go, you know, the point about scouting, when you look at what teams have done, what I watch is, you know, everybody watches the first round and the second round, but where teams really make hay, right, is the third, fourth, and even into the fifth round. The Raiders are a good example. Look at what they did in the fourth round with Max Crosby. So that's going to be interesting to watch this year, to see those teams. And your point, Therese, about the haves and the have-nots separating even more, I think you're gonna see that drastically. So some of these teams that are struggling or are on the descension are going to really find themselves in a rebuild faster than they probably anticipated, right?
Yeah. It's going to be complicated. I actually kind of feel for, like, rebuilding teams right now, because it's the teams that have continuity that are going to be better off. So, like, okay, one thing that Derek Carr has going for him is that he's been with John for 2 years now, right? And they, like, John's been the coach there for 2 seasons. That's a good thing for them. There's a continuity as far as play calling goes, of expectations, of roster building. I think that's going to matter this year more than ever. So these teams that have the continuity, again, from the quarterback, the coach, the GM, like, it's going to help them, whether it's Kansas City or Vegas or Baltimore, for instance, right? Mm-hmm. You know, these teams that are getting these new programs going, man, I mean, I don't envy Joe Burrow. Like, those off-season workouts, like the OTAs and those reps matter. He's going to have far fewer than most have had, right? You know, you can kind of go down the line here of, like, new quarterbacks in situations who are going to be asked to help immediately. I think that's going to affect Justin Herbert and his ability to come in and play. Like, Tyrod Taylor is probably going to be the quarterback in L.A. for a while, yeah, right? Like, the continuity part is what's really going to matter here, guys. So I say all that to say, you know, if there's one thing that the Raiders do have going for them, they've got that. And Carr seems to be motivated. So, you know, we'll end up seeing what happens. I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders made a run at a winning record last year. I was impressed with them at points last year, guys. I thought that, you know, there was real signs of competency with that team, and I thought you know, they were playing some good ball at certain points. They were just lacking at a few spots.
No doubt, Therese, and I think that goes back to what you just said a few minutes ago, which is you look at the roster and you kind of see the plan, right? And, of course, yeah, you got to go on the field and you got to win the games and you got to get the juice out of your guys, but they seem to be following that path and not deviating from it, a path that many, when they traded Khalil Mack, couldn't see yet, but certainly it's become more evident as the 2 seasons under John Gruden have gone on. Therese Paylor from Yahoo Sports, check out the popular Yahoo Sports NFL podcast. Therese, we'll catch up with you down the line, man. We really appreciate you being here.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right, Therese Paylor. All right, we're going to step aside and take a break. When we come back, it's going to be time for the Q-Tip. You are listening to Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Welcome back to the Silver and Black Today here on Raider Nation Radio 920. A little Mr. Edward Van Halen bringing us back in. You're listening to Q and Scott. We are talking Raiders football. Again, thanks to Therese Paylor from Yahoo Sports for joining us. And it's that time of the day when the clouds clear, the sky brightens, and everything before you makes a lot more sense, because it's time for the Q-Tip.
I can't hear you, Peach.
It's time to listen up, Raider Nation.
Can't hear you, Peach.
Clear out those ears and get ready for the Q-Tip. Your boy Q's daily take on what you need to hear.
That very precision seems to drive Q-Tip fans right over the edge.
Like it or not.
You know, today we're going to talk about something, and we never know what direction this is going to go. This segment is one of those that I may just go off the rails. I may rant about something. I may talk about something that means a lot. Who knows? There's always some weird direction that I'm going to go in. But today, it's a little sad, the news that I'm going to talk about. And Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network, I believe he had it first. He put it out earlier this morning about Raiders running back William Stanback. And I don't know if this guy is going to make the team. I don't know if he's going to make the practice squad. I don't know what he's going to do. But the news that Tom Pelissero put out earlier this morning really just touched my heart. So I just wanted to touch on it myself is on this show. And the tweet that he put out was, Raiders running back William Stanback has returned to camp after the passing of both of his parents. Dad William Sr. died on July 21st from bladder cancer, and his mom Patricia on July 30th from a heart attack. That is 9 days if you're trying to do the math. 9 days. In the span of 9 days, William Stanback lost both of his parents. Huh. Now, I know in life we all deal with adversity. I've dealt with adversity. Scott, you've dealt with adversity. Everyone has dealt with adversity. But, man, that's a tough pill to swallow right there. July 21st to July 30th, 9 days, William Stanback lost both of his parents. Just yeah. Heart-wrenching. Just my heart felt like it dropped in my chest when I read that. And again, I don't know if he's going to make the team. I don't know what everything is going to, you know, shake out for him. But for him to, you know, pick his head up, try to get back, in a good sense of mind and get to camp and even compete for a job tells you a lot about that young man.
It really does. And we heard last week during John Gruden's press conference, he had talked about some of the challenges with guys that were out. And he mentioned a running back who was out for personal reasons. And he didn't expand on that because it wasn't any of our business at the time. But clearly now we know it was about Stanback. And of course, he played in the CFL. And Yeah, I mean, these are the kind of things where, you know, sports are life, I always say, because everything that happens to you and you see a guy like this come out, he's coming back out chasing his dream despite losing both his parents in that short period of time. You're right that he may not make the team, right? The chances that he does are very slim. But I will tell you that the character shown by this young man to come back amidst that, how many of you out there could say that you would do the same thing? I mean, It's incredible, Q, and I appreciate you mentioning him because it's the grief, but he's clearly channeling that grief into something positive, and you got to love that in a human being.
You know, and that's what you got to do. You know, when you deal with adversity, when you deal with loss, when you deal with a lot of different things in life, it's how you rebound from that. You know, we're all going to have our pitfalls, but how do you pull yourself back up? You know, and obviously he's trying to put his best foot forward and make it happen. And so, again, you know, I know the Raiders were on Hard Knocks last year. This would have been a great, you know, little story on Hard Knocks to kind of follow, you know what I mean? And I know that they're not on it this year, but that's the kind of story that I would like to follow. I'd like to see what a guy like William Stanback dealing with this kind of adversity, how he can, you know, bounce back and try to compete for a job and use that energy, use that hurt to try to get that spot, you know, solidify that spot. This is one of those guys that now I'm rooting for him. You know what I mean? Because it's deeper than just football. I'm just rooting for him to be successful and, like I said, put his best foot forward and make it happen just because everything that he's gone through and what he's battling back from.
Well, and I know many, many folks out in Raider Nation who've experienced loss in their life at all, you can relate to that. And that's why when you see a story like that, it touches you personally. And I know that everybody can relate to that. So thank you. And also, we also heard Lynn Bowden Jr.'s grandmother passed away from COVID-19. We want to give him and his family the best wishes as well. So just a tough week, but like you said, Q, it's how you bounce back. All right, we're going to go back out on the phone lines and hear from Raider Nation. We're going to go out, and it's Raider Rich on the Raider Nation radio hotline. Hey, you're with Q and Scott on Silver and Black today.
What up?
What's up, Rich?
What up?
Chilling.
What up, Mr. Myers, Scott?
What's up?
I got a question. I keep hearing people's expectations is like a top 15 defense. My question is, you know, with the amount of money that's put towards the offense, is that a realistic thought for the Raiders? You know, because me, I want, you know, complementary football. for my defense. Right. I want my defense to, you know, be opportunistic. They don't need to lead the league in anything, but they need to be able to do a lot of things and especially get in the red zone and just be tight.
Yep.
So
good call.
I mean, that's what I'm looking for out of the defense. I'm not looking for a top 10 defense. I just want the defense to seize opportunities, come up, you know, come up with turnovers and stuff like that. Kind of like, you know, when Woody was in the back end, but, you know, all over the field. You understand me?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Raider Rich, thanks
yes,
for your
sir.
Call, man.
Good stuff. Let me take this one real quick because I talked on this yesterday on the show. I talked about it on the podcast. I'm the one who said I think that they should be top 15 because last year they were 29th. And 29th obviously is not going to get it done. They have invested on the defensive side of the ball, both free agent money and draft capital. So with the new talent that is on the defensive side of the ball, I expect it to be better. It's not going to be top 10. It's not going to be top 5 like Raider Rich was saying. You know, he's not expecting that. But part of being top 15 is creating turnovers. Part of being top 15 is buckling down in the red zone and making the team settle for field goals instead of going ahead and punching it in for 6. They have got to be better in all those areas. And it starts with getting pressure on the quarterback, which goes back to the defensive line, which goes back to Rod Marinelli and Malik Collins. But there's a lot of additions to this Raiders defense that is going to help them improve. And the goal is, and this is what my thoughts are, the goal is for them to be around middle of the pack, around 15. If they can become a 15, top 15 defense, that is going to guarantee them, in my opinion, at least 2 to 3 more wins. They got 7 wins last season as a 29th ranked defense. Ranked 29th. They gave up 26 points a game. You shave off a field goal a game and you cut down some of the yardage and you get maybe 3 or 4 more points a game on offense and you're cooking with grease. Now all of a sudden you've got 10 wins and you're talking about the playoffs.
Absolutely. And remember too, again, on defense, I have the magic number 17-18. I don't know why that number just keeps coming in my head. Maybe I'm having some ESP moments here, but I will tell you, they've invested a lot of money in that defense in the front, in the back end, in the middle, a mix of free agents and those friendly rookie contracts. And then you talk about the offense. The offense as well, Q, you have you have all those rookie contracts. Think about it. Jacobs, Ruggs, Renfro, Miller, Moreau, and even Waller on a friendly deal, right? So this is the time. That's why I think the window for the Raiders is so nice right now, because if they can put it together, if they can get to middle of the pack on defense, top 10, top 5 in offense even, things will click for them. And yeah, you got the Chiefs there, but you know what? You get in a wild card, anything can happen. So I like it, and I think that defense, to your point, Q, is going to improve. It has the horses to do so. If it does not, then you have other issues. There's no doubt.
And you know, the thing about it, the Chiefs' defense wasn't that good. You know what I mean?
No,
it was actually pretty suspect most of the year.
It got good at the end of the year.
It got better going to the playoffs and going into the Super Bowl. That's as it improved. It wasn't that great.
Well, we're going back out on the listener line, and we bring in the Snake Man. Snake Man, you're on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
What up, lads? How you doing again?
Good, buddy.
Chilling.
Hey, man. Real quick, you know, the Raiders, what they've actually done is, at the defensive line position, I think is twofold. They added by subtracting P.J. Hall, number one. I really do think that he was holding Maurice Hurst back from his development. The reason why I say that is because he was not demanding double teams. He was not really enough of a difference maker up front. Maurice Hurst needs another guy up there paired with him. I really do believe the Raiders are going to be dynamic at the interior this year. I think Hurst is absolutely ready to make that leap forward. Collins has been coming on, been following him for a few years now as well. But the guy, and Carl Cockerham did a good video on Nassib a few days back, and Nassib really is under the radar here. I mean, I'd like to, you know, Mayock loved him coming out of the draft, but this guy, he's that big, prototypical defensive end that Gunter loves. He's great against the run, which, as you know, Gruden made that statement a few years ago. We got to address that situation first. And I believe the Raiders are fantastic right now on the edge. But I really think Nassib is a guy that can really make a big contribution this year, too. And then real quick, they essentially added another hybrid type of linebacker this year if they can get Avers back in the mix and he stays healthy. That's where he shines. That guy is dynamic in the run game. He might not be a prototypical defender against the pass, but their middle of the defense from the linebacker positions to the interior right now is by far better than it's been in the last 15 years that I can remember. So I want you guys to comment on just the middle of the defense, because that, to me, is really what we're going to get, create pressure on Mahomes and guys like that.
No question.
Yeah, I agree.
Steak, man, great call.
Yeah, really good call. And, you know, I'll address the middle of the defense real quick. I think even though we always talk about Littleton and we always talk about Kwiatkowski for a good reason, I also think that's where guys like Javon White and Tanner Muse are going to come into to the play, you know, and into the mix, because they can drop in coverage. Those guys were safeties in college, so they know how to cover. They know how to create plays. Javon White is a guy who gets his hands on the ball and creates turnovers. Tanner Muse is just one of those junkyard dogs. He could be played all over the field, and he's just a football player. So I think that those guys are really going to pay some dividends probably later on in the season, but at some point I think that they're going to step up in a major way. And of course, Littleton and Nick Kwiatkowski being able to do what they do, Littleton sideline to sideline, I think that's improved the Raiders defense in a major way.
Well said. And Snake Man, tomorrow, guess what? Carl Nassib is going to be on this show. So we're going to talk to Carl Nassib.
Let's go.
Let's go, baby. Yeah, we're going to talk to him. I've been wanting to talk to him for a long time, and we're going to get that opportunity as they are ramping up at camp. You got to love it. And Q, you know what? Again, I just think that this defense has a lot to prove. Listen, the whole team,
of course,
has a lot to prove. There's no question about that. But I do think the optimistic view of that defense, because of the improvement, because of where they invested in it. And it's not just the money. It's not just they went out and signed a bunch of guys and made some draft picks. It's the people they got in. Again, going back to what Therese Paylor was saying earlier, you see the plan. You see the type of guy that Mike Mayock and John Gruden want in there. And all of these guys fit in. You don't see the PJ Hall anymore. You don't see those guys where you say, huh, why is he there? He doesn't really fit there. Maybe they know something we don't. No, instead, you look at all of those players that they brought in, from Malik Collins to Nassib to Littleton to Kwiatkowski, and they all fit that same mold.
Right, and they're all football players, and I mean real deal football players. And the Raiders, for years, were used to signing free agents that are just there to collect a paycheck. Mm-hmm. These guys are young. These guys are hungry. Like, I know that Corey Littleton got a nice free agent deal, but he's still learning. He's still growing. This guy was undrafted. He was a free agent. He was a guy who made his hay by way of special teams, and then he found his way onto the field. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's so many guys on the roster that are just hungry football players, which is an exact opposite of what we're used to seeing from the Raiders. So now they got real deal players on their team.
All right. Good discussion. Thank you to all the callers. Line up now. We're going to go to a break here at the top of the hour. So get on the line, 702-365-9200. Tell us what you think about this Raider defense and about the topics of the day. Q and Scott here on Silver and Black today, Raider Nation Radio 920. We'll see you in just a minute.